Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Ken down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk walleye fishing with walleye tournament pro Keith Cavias. And then lastly, some fall turnover tips from fishing guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Find your perfect Can-Am ATV or side-by-side at Hayward Power Sports. The all-new 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATVs were redesigned with the rider in mind for unmatched fun and value. Hit the woods or trails with models starting at $5,999. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of a $500 rebate or 2.99% financing on select models. Looking for a side-by-side? The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's extra tough on the worksite, the ranch, or wherever you need to get the job done. Feel the adrenaline surge in the high-performance Can-Am Maverick, or get the best of work and play with the ultimate crossover, the Can-Am Commander. Claim the side-by-sides that fit your needs today and enjoy financing as low as 1.99% for 36 months on select models. Make every hunt a success, every trail ride an excitement-filled adventure, and make light work of your heavy-duty jobs, all with a brand-new Can-Am off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're down in Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I'm talking to Ken down here. And Ken, obviously, we're getting into fall. The trees are changing color, and it's been cooler at night. What are you seeing and hearing as far as the fishing out there? Let's start with the panfish.
Well, panfish are still going pretty good. They're on the weed lines and deeper structure, deeper humps and stuff, kind of, you know, above the thermocline, and every lake's a little bit different.
You know, and I've been doing pretty good with plastics, and most of the people I'm talking to are still using the plastics, not necessarily minnows, but they will bite on the minnows too.
No, plastic is your best option now, because you can cover a lot of water without putting on a new minnow every time you want to stop and check and see if the fish are active.
How about the walleyes out there? Are you hearing anything there?
Jigging walleye suckers have been probably the best that I've heard so far. There's still guys cranking and trolling, doing pretty well.
Yeah, trolling, well, that'll hold up the rest of fall, I think. But you know, guys can try trolling lead core a little bit later.
Yep. So last year, you know, I caught walleyes as far as 37 feet deep in late September on round, and they seem to be in 35 feet on grindstone and 30 to 32 feet on Le Coup d'Oreille, and that seems to be, you know, the norm to find the big schools.
Anything on the bass fishing out there? What's going on there? Smallmouth is usually pretty good at this time of year.
Yep, smallmouth, they're taking topwater, little football jigs and Ned rigs, and hair jigs is only if necessary. You know, that's mainly a spring bait, but they still bite it.
You know, and I get in September, I like to use very large sucker minnows, actually, on a 5-inch, maybe even 6-inch minnows.
Yeah, once that water temp gets 62, 63 and under, you can go with big suckers, even, you know, 4 or 5 inches, and catch the biggest smallmouth of the year.
Yeah, one thing I'll kind of remind people out there, if you do go that way with the suckers, use them on jigs, because if you just use them on a single hook or a rig type thing, you wind up hooking a fish really deep sometimes, and the jig usually hook them farther out in the mouth where they're pretty easy to release.
Yep, and then, you know, when you catch a fish really deep, you know, if you bring them up really fast, you know, their air bladder expands to the point sometimes it can come right out of their mouth. So what you can do is, you know, you can hold that fish by putting a weight clip on their fin, keep them upright for a few hours, and then, you know, release them once the air bladder releases, or you can fizz them.
Well, then there's also fish descending tools. I know they're using them a lot nowadays down in the ocean and the Gulf. It's just a weight you clip on the fish and put them back down where they were. But the best thing is that I tell people, if you're fishing walleyes and you're out in 40, 50 feet of water or whatever depth of water, once you go beyond about 30 feet, if you're catching a bunch of small, undersized fish, get out of there. Don't keep catching them and throwing back the little ones, hoping you're going to get a big one, because there probably ain't very many big ones in that school.
Well, as an example, I caught like probably a 9-pound walleye. I was pre-fishing for a tournament on Gull Lake, Minnesota, and it was real early in the morning. I was trying to follow the seagulls around, and as this one big walleye had come up from, you know, 30-some feet of water, and his gallbladder was, or his air bladder was right out of his throat. Put it in a live well, and 3 hours later I released it, and it was totally fine.
You know, how about muskie and pike fishing? Are you hearing much there? Usually right now we're getting into the muskie stuff pretty good.
On the weed lines, even on the flowage, you know, all the bait is up on top of the weeds, and so you would think that the muskies would be really close.
You know, they're where the food is, and that's typical of this time of year. The fish will move shallow before they move back deep again.
Yeah, the other day I was out there fishing. I was pitching some thicker grass and caught some 23, 24-inch walleyes, so even the walleyes are up shallow on the flowage still.
Yeah, the weeds will start to die off, and then they'll start moving out of them. But, you know, that'll happen here. I imagine there's some guys starting to run suckers already.
Yep, they are.
You bet. And hunting seasons will be around the corner here. As we're airing this, we're coming right into the hunting seasons for archery deer and for small game. You think you're getting a lot of good people coming in, checking stuff out for that, like bows and archery equipment? A
lot of archery upgrades and archery repair, putting on new strings. This year is probably a banner acorn year, even though we had a late spring and lack of water. Acorns will be your key on bagging a big one in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, a lot of acorns out there, I noticed that. And you guys are pretty much geared up for the fall fishing and the fall hunting. I know Jared is out to one of the shows, kind of getting ready for the winter already, but we're not going to talk about that right now. The fall, you guys are pretty much geared up for anything they need for hunting and fishing, right?
Yeah, yes, we do.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you for taking the time here.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Walleye Tournament Pro Keith Cavias about walleye fishing, fishing electronics, and a lot more. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of muskie baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Get the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Truth is, our 2023s arrived late and we missed out on early season sales. So we have a huge inventory of them, but desperately need to make room for the 2024s. It's the perfect storm for incredible deals. From the entry-level Lund Adventure to the awesome Lund Impact XS and everything in between. They're all rigged with Mercury outboards and offered at blowout prices. Get your new Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show was brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, when it comes to fishing, walleye is a popular target for a lot of people to go after up here, Had a chance the other day to meet up and talk with one of the walleye tournament pros out there, Keith Cavias, about walleye fishing. And we talked about walleye fishing, electronics with walleye fishing, and a lot more.
I was down Hayward Bait and Bottle and ran into a guy I haven't seen for quite a while. Keith Cavias fished a lot. You fished the tournaments. I never got into walleye tournaments, but right. you were big in a walleye tournament. You still are.
Yeah, I started fishing tournaments back in the mid-80s, actually. So I'm probably 40 years into tournaments now and still going to some. I don't fish all of them anymore. I try and pick and choose a little bit, pick the ones that I think are going to be a good bite, a fun bite. I still like catching fish more than anything. So just a little pick and choose.
You know? I know. And then you spend all winter down in Florida, which I sit up here and freeze. You go down there where it's cold.
Well, I spend a couple weeks ice fishing, but then, yeah, come end of December, I head down to Florida where if you're a walleye fisherman, you know how to read electronics. Saltwater fishing is just unbelievably fun because they're all very aggressive fish. They all want to bite. They're all almost always hungry. So if you can spot a rock pile or a ledge or anything on your sonar, there's always going to be fish down there, just a matter of what it is.
It's amazing where we've went to in your career, right? As far as electronics, it's been unbelievable.
And, you know, now with the new active targets, the forward-facing sonars and things like that, it really is a game changer. I got a little bit behind the young guys. I mean, they picked it up right away, started using it, figuring out how to change techniques and things like that to go with the forward-facing sonars. But I've spent the last 2 years really catching up, and it just makes things really more enjoyable out there because every time you cast, you know you're casting towards a fish or something. So the electronics have always been super important for walleye fishing. You know, we led the way on a lot of this stuff, you know, going from flashers to paper graphs to LCRs to GPSs to blotters. I mean, we were always there. And, you know, like I said, now it's the forward-facing sonar that's the next thing, just getting you on fish quicker.
Well, you know, you want to get on board with that stuff and learn how to use this stuff. And there's a lot of old timers and actually some young guys out there. They're always complaining. They're saying that, well, now the forward facing sonar is going to be the end all. It's going to wipe out the fishery. But we've been hearing that comment going back from the flasher.
Well, and part of that is, I mean, the responsibility of the angler. If you really believe that, go out there and catch fish and throw some back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just really the fact of the matter. If you're getting that good, you should really be throwing fish back. Nobody needs to keep every fish that they catch. But, this morning I went out with Bill Kutka. We were on tons of fish. It's still fishing. It was flat calm out. They just didn't want to bite. Caught a few on shiver minnows and things like that. We had to really get aggressive and just almost make them mad to bite them. But, you know, we went out for a couple hours and caught, you know, some fish. So that's the main thing. And again, we knew we were on fish because we were using the active target, and we knew they were out there. We could see our baits coming by them, and every once in a while, one would bite.
It's even more frustrating when you got that kind of equipment. You see the fish, and you can't make them bite. Yeah. We haven't got anything yet that'll open their mouth and shove something in there.
No, there's no excuses now. I mean, it literally, you know, the fish are there. So it really, we only had a short period of time to fish this morning, and we knew we were on fish, and that makes it fun. I mean, when you're just kind of randomly casting to what you think might be a good spot, you know, then you don't know if the fish aren't there, if it's you or a bait or what it is. So it can make it fun, but also frustrating because there they are right there.
Well, you know, when it comes to all the advances and the equipment we've got, I always maintain, I said, it's not an issue we should outlaw this or outlaw that. It comes down to two things, angler ethics and good regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I still claim that, you know, like I said, I started tournament fishing back in the 80s. I still claim we have the best walleye fishing right now in general than we have the whole period. You know, things are just getting better and better. And I think a lot of that has to do with the anglers putting back some fish. It has to do with the better management, the better tools that the fish managers have too to count fish and see, you know. So I think the outlook for walleye fishing is really good. It has been. But again, it's up to us anglers to make sure that stays good.
Let's talk a little bit about walleye fishing. You know, and the first thing I'm going to say is that there's a lot of anglers out there. When they think of predator fish, they think of muskies, they think of northern pike, but they don't think of walleyes. But walleye could actually be a bigger predator than the real toothy fish.
Oh, yeah. Walleyes are eating machines, basically. I mean, the hard part always about walleye fishing has been to find them. Once you find them, you can figure out a way to make them bite. But walleyes, yeah, they're built for eating. They're very, very good eyes, you know, so a lot of times what they'll do, and I think we might have run into this a little here, you know, in a real clear water situation, they're going to bite right away as the sun comes up in the morning or right before sunrise, and they bite right at sunset. Because in those time frames, they've got a huge advantage over almost every fish in the lake because they see so well in the dark. So they will take advantage of dark days. They'll take advantage of windy days, cloudy days, and then, again, the low light periods. And you know, they don't slash and burn like a northern pike or a muskie does, but they've got very sharp teeth. They'll grab the bait. They'll actually just hold it in their mouth until the thing quits struggling, and then they eat it. So, walleyes are definitely on the high on the predator chain, and they do a good job of eating bait.
Well, you know, and you made a point there, finding the fish. A lot of people struggle out there, and sometimes I do, trying to catch walleyes. But the biggest thing is, if you can get a good chance of making them bite, either aggressively or feeding on something, if you where the fish are. But you've got to find the fish, and there's not fish everywhere. The numbers of walleyes actually is not as high as a lot of people think.
No, but yeah, but they are a schooling fish, and they're typically keen on something. So if you can figure out what they're keen on, whether it's insects or a certain type of minnow or whatever it is they happen to be eating, then a lot of times there's going to be most of the walleyes doing the same thing. So once you figure out a little bit of a pattern, it can be really good. And that really does go too, like I said this morning, I mean, you mentioned a little bit, a lot of people, I think the biggest problem people get a lot of times is they think when the fish aren't biting, you should go even slower and smaller, you know, go to a jig and a crawler and go to something really slow and just put it in front of them, let them sit. And a lot of times that's not what it is. I mean, if they're biting, they'll bite that jig and crawler or that minnow or whatever it is. But sometimes when they aren't biting, you just got to get really aggressive with them, whether that's pulling a crankbait by them and making them kind of react to the crankbait. Or like this morning, we were throwing shiver minnows at them. Shiver minnows are very aggressive bait, jumping back and forth. It looks like a wounded fish down there, and they literally have to chase after it and get it because it isn't sitting in front of them. But sometimes it's those kind of things that make the fish bite instead of just getting more and more finessey, which is what a lot of the English think about.
Well, you know, we're allowed to troll up here now, and I know there's going to be more guys out here. We're coming in fall as we're talking. We're allowed to troll on any lake. We're limited on lines to some degree, but trolling, I see a lot of when it comes to tournaments, you guys spend a lot of time trolling, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the key about trolling is in the tournaments especially, we can fish a lot of lines. Wisconsin has 3 rods, but even out in Erie or wherever we're trolling, we can fish a lot of lines. You can cover a lot of water. And quite frankly, even on these lakes up here by Hayward, these natural lakes, people overlook the open water fishery. A lot of the bigger fish in your systems, a lot of times will, in the summer especially, come off the structure. They aren't on the rock piles or the rock bars or even on the weed edges. They'll literally go out in the middle of the lake and suspend out there because that's maybe where schools of perch are or crappie or something like that. Again, they're looking for food. And a lot of times, if you can get out there and figure out that they're out there, see them on your depth finders, and then kind of look at where you're seeing the marks out there. You know, maybe they're 10 feet off the bottom or 15 feet off the bottom. And then try and run your crankbaits just above them. That's when you'll have success out in the open water. The good thing is it's kind of a cookbook now. There's an app out there called Precision Trolling Data, where literally it'll tell you how much line to let out to get a bait to a certain depth. So if you see fish down 15 feet, you think, well, I'd run some baits at like 12 feet down just above them. It would tell you, oh, for a flicker shad let out, I don't know what it is, 120 feet or whatever it is.
Or a snapoid 50 plus 2.
Right, 50 plus 2 data is there if you got to go a little bit deeper. You throw it on an offshore planer board, you swing it out to the side, and you just troll around. And if that doesn't work, you switch the height of the bait a little bit or the color or the action. And, you know, once you start getting bites, you figured out a pattern, you just put more of those on and catch much fish.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. And when we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with Walleye Tournament Pro Keith Byatt. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and bore sight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sport shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with walleye tournament pro Keith Cabayas.
Seems to me, too, that you guys fish the crankbaits a lot in the tournaments because crankbaits seem to catch bigger fish. I seem to catch bigger fish on crankbaits.
I believe that's true. I mean, part of it is because a lot of times we're fishing those crankbaits out where the bigger fish are, and we know that. You know, you can put on a more substantial bait, you know, a number 11 or 12. That means 11 centimeter or 12 centimeter. I mean, that's a pretty good size bait, and it's going to only really attract bigger fish. But in tournaments, that's what we want is bigger fish.
Right.
But in general, I think even for, you know, run a flicker shad on some rock bars and things like, I mean, in general, crankbaits are going to catch your biggest fish. I think. Again, because it's not really an eating bite for a crankbait. It's more of a reactionary bite. Walleyes are known for their samplers. And so a lot of times what will happen is when a bait is moving fairly quickly by them, like a crankbait or a shiver minnow or something like that that's moving fast, they want to get it in their mouth and taste it. And then if they don't like it, they just spit it out. Well, if you got treble hooks on there, it makes it a little harder to spit out. So that's just how a walleye does it. They don't, you know, sampling, putting things in their mouth. Even when you're jig fishing, a lot of times they'll suck the bait in, and then if they smell your scent on the bait or something, they just blow it back out. That's why you have to set the hook so fast when you're jigging. They just hold things in their mouth. Whereas like a northern, they want to just slash it and beat it up. A muskie wants to slash it, beat it up, swallow it down. That's not how a walleye works. So if you keep that in mind, crankbaits can be that triggering factor, you know, just more aggressive. And because of that, a lot of times they will catch the bigger fish.
A lot of changes in crankbaits over the years. And I know you've been working real close with Berkeley over many years.
Right.
We started out with what, the flicker shad?
Flicker shad, then the flicker minnow.
I troll a lot of them, and you know, but you've got a lot of other stuff going on too.
Well, we just came out this spring or this fall. In fact, next month, September, we're going to see our newest bait out, and it's called the Deep Hit Stick. It's a little bit more aggressive bait. It's got a little bit wider action, got a little bit louder rattles in it, but it's really meant for those bigger aggressive fish. Right now it comes in at like a 9, a 10 and a half, and a 12. So like if you take trips out to Lake Erie, that 12, we've tested a lot out there. It's just unbelievably good out there. I mean, we only had prototypes, which a lot of times are like printed on a 3D printer and things. So we'd literally take them out there and catch so many fish they would just break apart because they're on this 3D printer.
Wow.
Now that we've got the production ones done, I mean, it's just a great bait. But around here, maybe the 9 is a better thing. If you don't have the big fish like you have in here, you go down just a little bit of size, but you still have aggressiveness in there, like we talked about, that can trigger these fish to bite when maybe they don't want to bite.
Well, with a wide selection, look at the Berkeley lineup. You got the flicker shads and the flicker minnows and
jointed there's a whole flicker bunch, shads.
Not to mention the bass baits and stuff they got. Yeah. How do you make a decision which bait to throw? Is there a kind of something you look at there?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the size of fish you're going after. Again, if you're going for, you know, if you're mainly catching 15 to 20 inch fish, that's kind of your target, then you got to stay smaller, like a number 7 or a number 5, something a little bit smaller. If you're going for big fish like Lake Erie fish, or you get over by Green Bay by me, or, you know, there's a lot of big fish around too, then you might go up to a 9 or a 10 or a 12 centimeter bait, just because those bigger fish want a bigger, they only want to eat once instead of eating a bunch of little times. The other thing you can consider, and I wouldn't look at it too hard, is matching what's in your system. When I really do that, what I mean by that is, like, if your walleyes mainly eat perch, for example, a lot of people think, well, I should run a perch bait. But if you have a lot of perch in your system, if they want to eat a perch, they just open up their mouth and they eat a perch. So a lot of times you got to put on like a purple bait or a pink bait or some weird looking bait that gets their attention. Now, if you're in a lake that doesn't have a lot of forage, and the fish are like skinnier than you would think because they don't get enough to eat there, then you should definitely look at, hey, if I've got shad, put on some shad colors. If I've got perch, put on some, you know, fire tigers or some perch kind of colors. You know, if you've got crayfish, put in some red colors. Then you should really start looking at matching that, you know, the coloration, especially for when you're fishing a lake with not too much forage and the fish look hungry.
Well, a lot of great information there. Anything that you wanted to add to that as far as the walleye tips to people?
Nah, I mean, again, just use those electronics. They're so good now. And it's not just this active target. I mean, it's your regular sonar. It's your side scan. We've been using side scan for a lot of years, and that's a great place to always fish for walleyes is on transitions. So a transition from a rock down to mud, or from sand down to mud, or from weeds to no weeds. And you can see all of that on your side scans and actually punch them in and save important areas like that. Because I think it's kind of like deer almost. They like traveling at certain places, and those transitions are a place that walleyes like to travel along. So even if you don't mark fish there necessarily, if you just find a good-looking area, rock to mud is a particularly good area, and you fish that, the odds of them concentrating there goes way up. So your electronics give you so many views now, down scan, side scan, forward scan, that you can look around a lake and actually figure out where fish are. You don't know exactly what they are. They could be perch or, you know, suckers or anything, but at least you know you're on fish. And then just, you know, look at the techniques you use. Start out at pretty aggressive. If they bite, go more aggressive. If they aren't biting, think about like a shiver minnow. So get really aggressive. Or you can slow down and try that too. So, I mean, it's still fishing. Just got to, those electronics are just so important for making sure you're on something to catch and then figure out how to catch them.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a tremendous amount of great information there. I want to thank you for taking the time here on our show here.
Glad to do it.
Folks, as we wrap up this week's show, we've got some great tips for you on dealing with fall turnover on our lakes from Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen.
Well, Steve, you know, as we get in the fall here, fall turnover is something that always occurs on some of the deeper lakes. And when you're looking at fishing, how do you change your approaches as we start getting in fall and people start worrying? They say, the fishing's going to be tough, it's turnover and stuff.
Well, absolutely. You know, turnover time is definitely a little bit more of a hit or miss time of the year, but there's certainly definitely things you can do to increase your odds. You know, one thing that people need to realize, John, is not all lakes turn over the same day, same time. You know, a bigger lake is definitely going to turn over later and slower than a smaller lake. So early in the turnover process, you'll see a lot of those smaller lakes start before the big lakes do. So I'll concentrate my efforts on those deeper, clear lakes until they begin to turn. And then oftentimes when they're beginning to turn, those smaller lakes have already completed the process, and we can make a jump back onto a little bit different body of water and get back on some action.
When you get and you're forced to the looking at the turnover going on in a lake, where do you start looking on those lakes?
Well, you know, turnover always, you see a real good movement pre-turnover for of fish moving very shallow. The fish move up in some of the very thick weeds. They'll get up on shoreline structure. It's the one time of year where pounding the shoreline can definitely be an advantage. And that's something that I don't do a lot of times, you know, during the other times of the year.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNORadio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.